We're talking with the owner of a Black-owned bookstore that is getting established in Milwaukee's Bronzeville neighborhood. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's turn our attention to the winter member drive that is underway at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Molly Stenz. Hi there, Molly.
Good morning, Kate.
And as a WPR listener, we're here to say, you know, you're always going to hear something interesting when you join us. And that is thanks to your support. You do it. Listeners provide the largest share of funding for WPR programs. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make The Morning Show possible and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
And Kate, right now we have a dollar for dollar match up to $3,000. It comes from our current members, including a member in Black River Falls. And what it means is that they are going to match every dollar you give.
And it is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support right now. It is a great opportunity at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, you may be thinking, well, Wisconsin Public Radio, they operate largely with tax dollars. They get, you know, all their funding from the federal government and the state. And it's true, we do get some funding, but it's really voluntary listener contributions from listeners like you that make up the largest source of funding for WPR programs.
And that means your support is absolutely vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. And so now that you know how important you are, make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, here at WPR, we have a core group of supporters who continue to give, and they give so generously, and we are so grateful. They willingly contribute because they depend on us. They depend on this vital resource. And maybe you do too. But maybe for whatever reason, you just haven't been able to give yet.
Well, we're here to tell you that WPR relies on new members just like you to grow and to keep high quality programs on the air. So today's the day. Show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month or any amount that's right for you is all it takes.
I especially like the talk shows. Just having a host and a guest isn't good enough for me. I really like the interaction, and I have called in, but very rarely. I just enjoy hearing other people call in and share information. It's a wonderful source of news for me. I'm Barbara Gilmore from Grafton, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for all my news about our world.
That's right. Go to WPR.org. Open your world, 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Molly Stenz. Your support during this winter member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of, say, $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
And you know, Kate, giving to WPR, we really make it easy. It just takes a few moments of your time. You can make a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
Indeed, it is. The monthly donor is such a great, great way to do it. Donations come back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
So we've got this dollar for dollar match. In effect, we have $3,000 left to raise. You can help. Can you give now? WPR.org, or you can call 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And today only, ask for the WPR t-shirt and mug bundle with your gift of $20 a month or more. Join in now to secure yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not yet a sustainer, no worries. You can do that right now. Become one right now. It's so easy to set up. What it is, you make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card, and you can sign up online at WPR.org, or you can give us a call, 888-202-2552. It really provides the reliable support for all the programs you love.
Sheila in New London says, public radio accompanies me to and from work each day. I enjoy the reporting from all across the world, and daily I share with other interesting stories I hear on public radio. So Sheila says, thank you for the thorough reporting on all aspects of life. Your gift right now, it opens up the world at WPR.org, and thank you so much for your support. Now to a Milwaukee-based bookstore that is finding a home in the Bronzeville neighborhood, committed to showcasing Black literature and the Black Authors Collective. Have you seen the Bike Bookstore, known as Niche Book Bar? Have you been to a book pop-up event before? What did you find? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Author and entrepreneur Satonia Weston Roy owns Niche Book Bar. Its motto is Black Books, Red Wine. Satonia, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you for having me.
All right, so you're going to have to explain this motto. How do Black books and red wine go together? What's this mix?
Well, when I thought of Niche Book Bar, I knew right away I wanted to have a sort of community space. So not only are you going there to browse the books, you can also grab a glass of wine to read with your books. So that will be our model when we're open and have that space for people to sit down with a glass of wine. So that's where that came from.
So do you pick your book and then select your wine, vice versa?
whichever works for you. Maybe you have to sip the wine while looking through the bookcase. You never know.
So how big of a financial investment, what about the book inventory, all the preparations you have to build a business from the ground up? What is that like?
It's very daunting. I think when I first started out, I didn't really know where to start. I didn't even think I knew where to get books initially.
Hmm.
So it's definitely a learning curve. But over time, as I've done more pop-ups, I've met more people and reached out, you really find people in the bookstore industry that are willing to help you along the way and give you pointers. So it was great to say that I didn't have to do it all the way alone.
I would imagine that you also have to build those relationships directly with publishers and authors so you can get access to the inventory of books you need.
Yeah, absolutely. And authors were the first medium I chose to reach out to when I knew I wanted to open a bookstore. So that was that great first step.
What would be your vision for how you will bring people in to Niche Book Bar? What is the community you'd like to build?
I imagine Niche is really just this community space, people coming in and finding books representing them right away on the shelf, a little spot to have some light eats, a muffin, of basic coffee, tea. I imagine families coming in, maybe first dates happening there, book
like
clubs.
That.
So really just an all-around community space.
Now tell us about the location that you chose and what's behind it.
Well, when I was first starting out, I'd heard about Bronzeville. I'm not a Milwaukee native, so it wasn't apparent to me right away. But I'd been popping up all over the city, and I did a few events in Bronzeville early on. And as I did more events there, I learned more about it. I learned more about the history, and I also loved how the businesses, when I say I didn't do it alone, a lot of businesses gave me feedback, and a lot of those businesses are in Bronzeville. So I loved that residential but city openness, mm-hmm, of the businesses and the history. So I knew right away that's where I wanted to go.
I think the building you're going to be in itself, built in 1895, so lots of history there.
Yes, extreme history and pretty good. She's in pretty good shape. for her age.
I love how it's a she, you know, and that's very fitting. So talk about these pop-up events. You went around on a bike around Milwaukee, getting to know the city, getting to know your new city. Can you tell us about what went into that?
Yeah, so I started out, before the bike, I started out with just pop-ups at local Black businesses with other local Black authors. And then as the pandemic hit, I remember just thinking, well, you definitely, when all these businesses are shutting down, it makes no sense to try to go for a brick and mortar right now. So what can I do outside in mobile? And I came to a bike. So that was just me scouring the internet for a used tricycle. And then I luckily knew someone who was into woodworking, Rawls Woodshop. And so he put my little ugly sketch in, somehow built a lovely little attachment to my used tricycle.
What were some of the comments that people said when they saw you on the street?
It was a lot of stopping and smiling. A lot of like, oh, there's a bookshelf on the back. A lot of people just saw me coming from the front. And then, you know, as I passed by and they saw the whole buildup. Just a lot of questions about who built it, what was it for, how many books does it hold, you know, was it heavy?
Well, how many?
Oh, it can hold, it has a little stacked adjustment at the bottom and at the top, so it can hold. My first ride, I didn't think about the weight, so about 100 books.
Wow. Wow, that's something. Satonia Weston-Roy behind Niche Book Bar, Milwaukee's Black-owned bookstore, getting established there in the Bronzeville neighborhood, building circa 1895. Do you support a community bookstore or other diverse independent bookstores? What questions do you have about getting a bookstore off the ground? 800-642-1234. We'll continue this conversation ahead on the Ideas Network. We are celebrating and uplifting Black authors through a Milwaukee bookshop getting off the ground called Niche Book Bar. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's get an update on our winter member drive that is underway at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Molly Stentz, and we're here to say that you count on the Ideas Network for these interesting conversations each day, and we count on you to help keep these discussions on the air.
Listener support is the largest piece of the funding that makes this show and all of the other shows that you enjoy possible. That's why your gift at WBR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And here's the cool thing. We do have this dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now, this very minute, from current members, including a member in Black River Falls. Your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 to $200. You get the picture. So take advantage of this match. Double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs that you love. When you give right now, get in on the match at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Kate, I don't know if you're like me, but how many times have you been listening to the Ideas Network and heard something that just stopped you in your tracks? Something
driveway
that was
moments.
So
yes.
Interesting. Tricycle moments.
Tricycle
right?
moments.
Hearing about these new business owners. You know, we strive every day for programs that open your eyes and engage your brain, programs that affect your life. This kind of radio, it only happens because of you and your financial support. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you might have a monthly subscription for, say, your cell phone, that Netflix subscription. I'm going to throw Peloton in the mix, y'all. Now we're asking you to support WPR like you pay for other services you rely on.
But the key difference here is that you get to pick. You are in charge. You decide how much to give. Support the programs that are a part of your day. Become a WPR sustainer. You choose the monthly gift amount that works for you. You set up monthly installments. You can do that online at WPR.org, or you can call us 888-202-2552.
When you support WPR, you power the essential news and refreshing entertainment your entire community relies on. That's something to be proud of. Today only, show off that pride with a WPR t-shirt and mug, available now for $20 a month. This comfy light blue t-shirt and white ceramic mug feature a navy design that'll showcase your love of Wisconsin and WPR. It's available for $20 a month today. Ask for your t-shirt and mug bundle now. Here's how.
What a bundle. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Molly Stentz, and it's your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio that keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether you set it something else, $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And we ask that you give the amount that's right for you. And, you know, if it's helpful, we have this formula. You may have heard it. You know, if you had a dime for everything you heard that you were really glad that you heard on the radio, just, you know, if you put a dime in a jar every time that happened to you, you'd probably have $10 a month right there in that jar. You know, if that works for you, if you can think of those moments that have changed your life, wouldn't you make a gift right now? Put that $10 to great use here at Wisconsin Public Radio. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And our dollar-for-dollar match still in effect. There's a lion's share of the match on the table. We have about 2,200 and change of match dollars. So go at it. Give now. Make use of this match. Make your donation go further. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR goes twice as far. Thank you so much for your gift right now at WPR.org. Or once again, 888-202-2552. Now to bookstores and the view from Niche Books Bar in Milwaukee. While the number of bookstores has steadily declined over the generation, the good news is that there are still more bookstores than some other types of retail businesses that are common in our communities. That's according to the Census Bureau's County Business Patterns. They had analysis published late last year. Overwhelmingly, though, bookstore owners are white, nearly 85%. What do you want to ask the founder of a Black-owned bookstore? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Satonia Weston-Roy owns Niche Book Bar and stays with us. Satonia, I understand that you are into speculative fiction, so not full-on sci-fi, not full-on fantasy, somewhere in the middle. What draws you to this genre, to these narratives?
I think I like the mix of real life, but with just that dash of magic. I think I strive for that in real life with my own life. So I think I just like to read that as well.
So a little dash of magic, something that transports you a little bit, but not so out there that it's a total other reality?
Right. Yeah, I do like those books as well here and there, but I'd say generally that's what I like.
You also like Octavia Butler, who was, you know, just this award-winning science fiction writer, died in 2006. What draws you to her books?
Well, it was actually the first books I found when I started being really cognizant of what I was missing in my reading journeys, and that was Black voices not kind of based in trauma. So a lot of her books where it's, you know, the Black main character is a vampire, there's space travel, she's got to save the world, she's got to save, you know, she's got to be the hero. So I think those really drew me to her. And she was the first author I found that had books like that. Of course, there are many now as I went through that journey, but she was the first. So she's going to always hold, I think, that soft spot in my heart.
It's interesting you're turning away from books that really focus on trauma, books that focus on pain in the Black experience. Why is that?
I just always felt like there was sort of like a capitalization on the pain. So I knew that when I wanted to focus on books for my store, I wanted to have those books as well, because a lot of those books have history, real life in them.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want people to only have that. I very much remember feeling like, as a child, that my stories, people that looked like me, was only pain. So they weren't as interesting, because all that was going to do is rip my heart out at the end of the book and make me upset. So I think that we have to know the truth. We have to know history, but we also have to see ourselves as the hero and the main character and the one in love in Paris and whatever else, because we are multifaceted people. So do our stories need to be multifaceted.
You've also loved the songs of W.E.B. Du Bois, a big book recommendation for you. I mean, this is a tome. This is over 800 pages. What draws you to it?
I think it does sort of have that little dash of magic in it as well. And when people hear me say no trauma books, they think books that don't have any mention of slavery or the journey so far. That book does go through from colonial times and follows women in a family generation from colonization through slavery all the way into like the 80s, 90s, and thousands.
Mm.
So it's not to say that trauma-based books don't mention reality. It's just that it doesn't center the trauma. So, you know, it's about the people and their lives and really painting a full picture of them. So that's what I really loved about that book. You know, as we're going through these colonial times and slavery times, it really centered the people, how they felt, not just what was happening to them, and using them as shock factor.
We only have a few seconds left. So when do you throw open those doors?
Well, hopefully by late summer, but we'll see how the road goes.
Satonia, thank you for joining us. Read on.
Yes. Thank you. No problem. Thanks for having me.
Satonia Weston-Roy owns Niche Book Bar. The motto of her business is Black Books, Red Wine. We have a link to her startup bookstore at WPR.org/mornings. And ahead this hour, it's our series where we talk with mayors from all over the state. Next stop is Superior. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. It's our series of conversations with Wisconsin mayors drilling down on local issues here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Our next stop is Superior on the western end of Lake Superior, northwestern Wisconsin. But first, we stop in on our winter member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Molly Stentz, and as a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you join us on The Morning Show. And that is thanks to your support. Listeners provide the largest share of the funding for WPR programs. And when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make The Morning Show possible. You make everything else you hear on WPR possible.
And Kate, we have this dollar-for-dollar match going right now. We have over $1,600 left. It's a great time to donate because members like us, including a member in Black River Falls, they will double every dollar that you give right now. It's their way of inspiring you, motivating you, cajoling you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your impact. Give us a call, 888-202-2552.
And we just caught up with the only Black-owned bookstore in Milwaukee, looking at business insights, looking at Black author recommendations. It's one of the beautiful things of The Morning Show. We're always on this journey together, meeting so many interesting Wisconsinites who are on the move, maybe on a bicycle, and doing really good stuff. These are the kinds of conversations that you count on from The Morning Show.
And what I love is we go around the state and back again in the scope of an hour, you know, and it's because of donations from you and you and you out there. We are listener supported. That means it's your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 that makes all the topics you tune in for every day possible. You choose the amount that works for you and make your gift.
And everyone should make the gift that works for them. And for you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
You know, maybe that's what you pay for your cable, and maybe that's what you pay for your phone. But listening to WPR is a habit. It's something you probably do every day. So put a value on it. Pick a number. Give us a call. 1-888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is, I mean, it is Wisconsin. I moved here from another state, and that was my introduction to Wisconsin. And every day, that's how I know what's going on in Wisconsin. On a monthly basis, I'm contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio. When I hear them talk about sustaining members, I realize that's me. And I kind of like that. Contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio makes you feel like you're part of a family or like a community. That's how I feel every month. And even if they're just giving a small amount, they can feel that way too. I'm Bridget from Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Be a sustainer. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Molly Stentz. Listener support, it is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on. And it's why your support during this winter member drive so important, and your gift is being matched right now. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. It's matched, $100 a month matched. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
You know, many of us, we were told not to brag, but after you've made a donation to WPR, now's your chance. You can make your gift go further by telling your friends, telling your family.
And whether you use social media, call them up, mention it to them when you see them, just letting people know that you support WPR, and it will help plant that seed in their mind. So make your gift WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And then let your friends know how good it feels when you support the station you enjoy every day.
It feels so good. This dollar-for-dollar match, we've got $1,600 left to raise. You can do it. You can help us. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support will go twice as far.
And today only, ask for the WPR t-shirt and mug bundle with your gift of $20 a month or more. Join in now to secure yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you for your support. Now to Superior, as part of our series of conversations, meeting with mayors from all over our state. The city is home to nearly 26,800 residents as of the latest census figures. Tracking population decline, though, since the 2010 census, losing about 500 residents, this following a trend seen in many rural Wisconsin communities. What speaks to you about Superior? Do you live in the Twin Ports? What's on your mind? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 for conversation. Jim Payne is mayor of Superior, first elected in 2017. Mayor Payne, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Well, I dare say I've got the wrong mayor. The mayor is a 5-time Olympian, a gold medalist, a flag bearer into the bird's nest. I think the real mayor is John Schuster, I think.
Yeah, he's really stealing the show this week. We're all pretty proud of him.
We're mere mortals, and I think that he deserves a homecoming.
If he brings home gold, silver, bronze, we're going to be pleased to have him home no matter what. Those guys are doing great.
Well, let's get your reaction first to Governor Evers' State of the State address last night. What stood out to you?
Well, I think his signature policy of a $150 essentially rebate to all citizens, that's one of the most significant proposals. I think the one that's going to get the most attention. But the thing I appreciated most is his commitment to schools, and especially addressing the mental health crisis, both in our National Guard and among the schools. I mean, we elected a teacher for a reason, and especially after the pandemic, a lot of our local schools are in absolute crisis. So I really appreciated the governor making that a priority.
Certainly, you've been looking at safety net programs in your area. How are you dealing with mental health and dealing with homelessness and transitional housing? What is that like in Superior?
Well, we're trying to treat them as comprehensive issues and not look for one silver bullet that's going to solve the problem. In other words, we're trying to do it the hard way. Now, these are not the kind of issues that cities in Wisconsin usually work on, that often falls to counties and the state, but we're not trying to abdicate responsibility either. So first, we're trying to invest in a lot of the nonprofits that are already doing this work and succeeding in mitigating these crises. We're also looking for out-of-the-box solutions that we can fund. If there's one thing that cities can do, it's provide funding to programs that work well. And finally, we're trying to create partnerships with organizations like counties, with the school district, and adapt our own organizations like our police department to more adequately meet these crises and change the way they operate so that they can bring solutions and innovation rather than just try to respond to emergencies and crisis.
And when, as you look at these out-of-the-box programs and potential solutions and the work that these nonprofits are doing, you also have federal pandemic relief aid that you're looking to distribute. How does that factor in?
That's where we're going to take a lot of this money. So we recognize that these crises have been here for a while. We have an addiction crisis, a homelessness and poverty crisis, and mental health and mental illness have been very serious conversations for as long as I've been involved in local politics. But the pandemic made all of that worse. And so we're using a lot of that federal money to directly address some of these problems and to put money into these solutions. But we're also trying to think about what new ways we can rebuild and reorder our communities to make them better going forward and to create more stability and opportunity for everybody so that we can sort of look at the long-term structural issues that cause these problems and not just try and mitigate the worst effects.
So how do you get input on where to put $17 million? How do you make a plan for that and really hear what your community, what your residents want?
So the convenient thing about spending a lot of money is you're never really short on opinions on how to spend it. So we do quite a bit of public outreach within the city. We partner with a lot of organizations to do that. But the way I approached it is first and foremost to look at the spirit of that law. The federal administration asked us to build back better, and it asked us to invest in key things and to try and prevent a year like 2020 from happening again. And they gave us the resources to do that. So that largely drove the plan. But we also kept the money as broad as we could as we made a budget so that organizations that were doing the work could come to us and tell us the best way to use it. So when I say we're investing in solutions, what that looks like in a budget, it says, for example, nonprofit grants, and that's it. That's just what it says. We then ask the nonprofits to come to us and tell us how you're going to help us work on this, and then we partner.
Jim Payne with us, Mayor of Superior, as we go around the state talking about local pressing issues and what local leaders are up against. You can join in with your questions. Perhaps you live in the Twin Ports, 800-642-1234. Nearly 4 years ago, the explosion at the Husky Energy oil refinery, it injured dozens of people, as you're well aware, caused a temporary city evacuation. The investigation with the Chemical Safety Board is still ongoing. Why hasn't the investigation released a report in nearly 4 years?
Sadly, that's a question I get every few months, and I just don't know the answer. We got some preliminary answers very quickly. And so I think here we feel like we have a fairly good understanding of what happened and what can be done to prevent it. And so as I have conversations with the refinery, which is under new ownership now, I'm able to pretty competently and intelligently speak to safety issues within the refinery. So we feel fairly prepared for the rebuild and the reopening of the refinery. But it's still a little disappointing that we don't have the final report. I mean, we're coming close to the opening bell here where that refinery returns to full operation. And we may feel like we have a lot of the facts. We might feel like we have enough of the facts, but we have to have them all, at least as many as we can possibly get. And so we're still looking forward to it. I wish I had the answer to that.
What has changed in terms of safety and prevention, especially in the face of local residents who had to really evacuate for their lives in a crisis?
Yeah, there are significant safety improvements in the refinery, the most important of which are around the storage and protection of the hydrogen fluoride tank, which was the toxic gas that could have been very, very dangerous to residents had that been released during the fire. That was part of the one of the main reasons for the evacuation. So there are significant safety improvements around that unit, which I do have to say, the safety mechanisms we had during the fire worked. That was a very serious fire that raged around that tank, and the mechanisms that the refinery had protected that tank. Nonetheless, we have asked for significant improvements, and we've gotten them. There is a reduction in the amount of hydrogen fluoride stored on site, significant improvements in protecting it from fire or explosion, as well as new mechanisms for disposing quickly of the chemical and rendering it inert so that even if it has to endure another disaster, which of course we hope it doesn't, we'll be able to neutralize that chemical very, very quickly.
Let's turn our attention to the port of Duluth Superior, the largest harbor on the Great Lakes by volume. How is the pandemic affecting shipments at the port? What do you see in these times?
Believe it or not, obviously the pandemic has effects. That is true. But believe it or not, we're seeing an increase in our activity in the port over the long term, in that a lot of the major shipping companies and docks are making actual investments in shipping, and most people are optimistic about the long-term future of freight. Now, of course, the world is changing, but freight remains one of the most efficient and effective forms of large transportation, especially of commodities. The most significant thing I guess I'm seeing is a change in what is being shipped. This used to be a very significant coal port, and that is really shifting. And I've gotten in trouble for this before, but I think that's good news. Coal is not the future of the American energy economy. And we have a number of other commodities that can be shipped out of this port.
What commodities are on the rise?
Salt is a big one, and grain shipping continues to do well. We do a little bit of shipping of taconite from the Iron Range, but your basic commodities, salt and foodstuffs, are on the rise.
We've talked with mayors all over the state who say the housing crunch is a huge problem, the lack of affordable housing, the lack of new units going up, especially in smaller cities. What are you seeing in Superior?
We're actually seeing a growth in housing. Now, I don't want to diminish the fact that we do have an affordable housing crisis and we need to make direct investments in it. But you mentioned at the top of the show that our population fell by about 500 in the last census. We think we've already made that up since the census because of just new construction in new housing units. Now, new construction is not affordable. We have to be honest about that. But it does in some cases free up other housing that is affordable. But the fact is, like our housing coordinator said to me in his job interview, if you want affordable housing, you have to build affordable housing. And so that's what we're going to do next year. We're going to put a direct investment in new construction of affordable housing to try and ease that burden.
What do you do with the aging stock and the lower quality stock of housing? What happens to that?
I was baiting you and I was hoping you would ask that question. We don't tear down houses. For years, we had an outright fund dedicated towards the demolition of so-called blight. I don't believe in blight. I don't believe there is a single house that can't be saved. If there's a wall standing, we can save that house. We have been correct. We have, we've never lost a house, but by getting a hold of these properties, usually by bailing owners out, we're able to turn them over to new developers to save them and with very few incentives. And the market's been able to save almost every single house, which keeps affordable housing stock on the market. And I mean, we some of these are seem unsavable. We had one scheduled for demolition, but turned it around and it's affordable housing for a young family now.
Mayor Payne, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, of course.
Jim Payne, mayor of Superior. We've talked with about a dozen mayors. Maybe yours should be next. Hit us up. It's a quick two-question form over at WPR.org/mornings. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. You are with us for The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Hope you stay around with us next hour as we discuss global sport and what these winter games signify. Now let's focus in on our winter member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Molly Stentz, and our goal is to keep bringing you topics like this, talking with mayors from all over the state, finding out what's really going on in Wisconsin at the local level and how, you know, we approach everyday challenges, callers advancing the conversation, asking thoughtful questions. This is where Wisconsin comes together, and it's your support that makes it all happen at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kate, I'm so excited. We are closing in on our goal. We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from generous members, including one in Black River Falls. We have just over $300 left of this match. Yes, we can do this. Just a few moments left to double your support. Take advantage of this match. Double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
In the last segment, we talked with the mayor of Superior as we go around the state talking with more than a dozen mayors and hear what's relevant, what is pressing, what is happening at the local level so we can build out bigger conversations and know really what is happening at the ground level. These are the types of conversations that you can count on from The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make the many topics that you tune in for every day possible. You choose the amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Showcasing your Wisconsin pride is now easier. Today only, ask for your WPR t-shirt and mug bundle. So our 2022 light blue shirt and ceramic mug, they share a design that celebrates sunny days spent outdoors in Wisconsin with your favorite public radio station. So act now, the special offer only available today with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I have a husband and three sons, and we're all very avid listeners. We feel that Wisconsin Public Radio provides objective and informative information about what's going on in the community. It certainly is a station where you can call in, and you know that for sure that if you have an opposing viewpoint, that it's going to be broadcast because this is public radio. I'm Joan Rudnitsky, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for objective information and entertainment.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to join Joan, to make your donation, to get it matched dollar for dollar. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Molly Stentz. It's your support during this winter member drive that is making the WPR programs you rely on possible. And so your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect, just a few $100 left to raise. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And right now, your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And you might spend a few dollars a month on a TV streaming service or a movie subscription. We need not name names. Think about paying for your WPR usage that same way, because you join us every day for information and entertainment.
Today only, you can ask for the WPR t-shirt and bundle of a mug and a t-shirt for your gift of $20 a month
or more. You can get yours at WPR.org. You can take a look at that snazzy t-shirt. You can call 888-202-2552.
Kathleen in Watertown says, I wake up to you all every morning. You help me learn about my world, laugh, cry, and have meaningful conversations with my kids, hopefully instilling an engagement with the world in them too. Thank you, Kathleen, for those words. Your gift now, so important, at WPR.org. And thank you for your support.